Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 314. My name is Andy.
It's Pi.
It is Pi.
It's our Pi episode.
Oh my God, I should have actually posted questions out for this because people would have asked, like, pie. What is our best Pi? What's your favorite Pi?
Key lime. Key lime.
I can get behind key lime Pi.
I'm not going to choose cherry Pi because I like the fruit pies. But I'll go with the strawberry rhubarb.
I can understand that.
Strawberry rhubarb is just cherry, basically, but just a little more tart, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, because you instead of just having one fruit that's sweet and tart, you have a sweet fruit and a tart fruit working together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hubbard Street Diner had a cherry rhubarb pie that I really liked. It had that tart zing to it. Mm. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Mm. So this is like this is month five of the global pandemic.
Time does not exist. I don't know how long it's been.
Or at least in the U.S. I mean, it's going to go longer in the U.S. than it is going in everywhere else.
Well, yeah, this is month five of year one. Yeah. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no real new announcements. I guess Gen Con is kind of doing their digital thing this weekend.
Sure. So
I saw some companies posting up schedules and that for like Flying Frog Games, because I love the stupid Shadows of Brimstone. That game is ridiculous, and I have a ton of it. But they're running a bunch of things over the weekend.
I like their other stuff, too. I think it's Flying Frog that did, like, Last Night on Earth and, those random goofy ones. Is it Fortune and Glory? Is that the big one?
Yep, they do Fortune and Glory.
The one that's
Glory.
Basically the Rocketeer?
Pretty much.
One of the scenarios even has, like, Nazis versus Mafia.
That's such a glorious moment in that movie when suddenly the mafia realizes that they're working with Nazis.
Yeah. And they're like, we may be the mafia, but we're American. Yeah. It's kind of like there's a comic book where Joker finds out he's been working with Red Skull in a DC Marvel crossover, and he just punches him out. He's like, I may be a psychopath, but I ain't going to work for no Nazi. Oh, those halcyon days when Nazis were agreed to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. When they could actually agree that who the bad guys were in World War II.
Oh, instead they're just good people. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not one of those people that has a particularly high view of the morality of American involvement in wars in general, but by God, we were on the right side in the Second World War.
It's like the only war where there's a demonstrable bad guy. Stalin was like a close second, and like Churchill was a jerk. You know, like there were some bad people on both sides, but for the war as a whole, like yowzers.
I mean, yeah. Stalin,
also remember,
Stalin is pretty darn up there in the same veins as
it's pretty
Adolf.
Close.
Pretty close.
Yeah, good times. Good times.
It's like that one time where they had a team up with Dr. Doom and
it's like the 9/11 issue where all the bad guys were like crying over the Twin Towers, which was the dumbest goddamn thing. It's like I understand that you wanted to do something patriotic after 9/11. Like I get that. But like to have like Dr. Doom and Magneto like weeping arm in arm over the tragedy, it's like you've had Dr. Doom try to like destroy the planet. Mm-hmm. Like he's not going to give a shit about a couple thousand Americans. Like I know that you're trying as a company to blur that line and to have you be patriotic, but you can do that without Doom and Magneto.
But he is the ruler of Latveria, which is probably part of the EU, which is probably which sure. is probably affected. I mean, who knows what from the financial loss?
What the financial effect, the economic effect on Latveria was from 9/11?
I do believe that they've retconned it that was a Doombot, because of course it was, because they retcon everything to be a Doombot.
Well, basically Dr. Doom retcons every... Actually, he doesn't retcon...
It wasn't me, it was a robot. He's still got the black eye. It wasn't me!
Oh. Man, I am... I guess what is tomorrow? Tomorrow's the 29th, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess they teased it a couple weeks back over on Atomic Mass Studios about the X-Men kind of joining the Marvel Crisis Protocol game.
Did they?
Well, they put a date down and they had a circle with an X in it. So it's
either... that's when they're discontinuing the game?
Yeah, that's
it. Well, how is that game doing, by the way?
I mean, the
bigger question is, how is any tabletop game doing?
I was going to say, how is any... It's like the poor, you know, the new owners of our local store, Pegasus Games, one of our local stores, like they bought it like, and then a month later COVID hits. Yeah. And it's like, that is not the time to make the investment in a.
Yeah. Because I mean, I think our primary hobby is now illegal in most states, I think.
So yes. Did Lori, did she start this whole COVID thing?
Just to get revenge on them for buying and
close the store. No. Yeah.
I don't see how scorched earthing behind her by releasing COVID. Plus, she's not even Chinese.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, Jesus.
It's funny because racism.
Yeah. Well, it's not funny because of racism at the same time. Because it's, yeah. So, David, you bring up a good point, though. It's pretty much the state of board games and miniature games is... I mean, most of it's going digital. I think the smaller scale games like Marvel Crisis Protocol and that works okay in a digital format. Probably easier to manage than War Machine. And I know that War Machine has made its way to a couple different tabletop formats.
Yeah. Some of which are kind of pushing the envelope a little bit. You know, it's convenient to use like official Privateer Press art, but it's also illegal to use official Privateer Press art. So
their lawyers might be just hanging out indoors. And then once COVID clears, then they might start striking things down. But at that point, might be precedent though. If this goes on for like a year and they've been using this like this for a year under their knowledge, that could be bad.
Maybe. I don't know how long. Yeah. I don't know what the shtick is with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea how that works.
No. Just like any other podcaster, we talk about shit we don't know.
I do know that beard hair is just part of that model I just made now forever.
Oh, what models are you putting together, Nathan?
I am putting together... let's see. My Aeternus Continuum Command Group. And that beard is specifically a member of a Vassal Reaver.
Mm.
My shipment has not showed up yet, and the USPS will not tell me when it's getting here. Only delayed.
Mine is apparently down at a Warjack, which is normal, but I don't know which one it's down because I don't know what I ordered. True story.
I'm going to have to look to see what I actually ordered. I got my shipment, too. Yeah. I didn't have a Warjack, though.
Right, and so, well, you should have had your heavy Warjack.
I don't have it in mine.
Oh, really? I had my heavy Warjack.
You went all in on yours?
Well, no. Okay. I did, but not as far as, like, fulfillment went, because for myself, I just got the battle group, you know, because then you got some free extra stuff and blah, 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 and then I ordered enough to make the equivalent of the all-in through the local game store.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was
especially nice once Privateer Press, because initially Privateer Press was making stores order like in batches of like a half a dozen of each model. And so our local group was having to juggle and say, well, this many of us have to play this faction, otherwise the store won't order this. And it was, and then finally Private Press is like, fuck it, stores get the discount, you know, regardless of what they order, and that made life a lot easier for everyone.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's kind of like how Monpok was started off as, is you have to have people that would be like, I'm only going to play Cthulhu, and then I'm only going to play Pterosaurs. And then, you know, when you bought a box, then it just got divvied up between, you know, the 5-6 people that were playing. And then eventually no one was playing anymore. Or if you had some two people want to play Cthulhu, then you had to fight over them. It just wasn't good for the store generally.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Yep. I ended up... So do you know any of the fluff about this game? Because I know nothing. I only picked the Iron Star.
Did you read the Henchhold Scrolls Twitters that was going on last year?
A little bit
of it.
At
the beginning of this year?
Yeah.
So you know how like everyone was trying to race through a dimensional portal before the Infernals wiped out humanity?
Yeah.
That's what the good guys were defending at the Henchhold was the portal everyone was running through. So fluff is everyone who went through that portal X thousand years in the future.
That's
this game.
What this, okay.
Oh, yeah. Right. And what's interesting, and I didn't realize this is going to be a thing. So each of the models comes with a little card that just, oh, that's a bad example because that's just here. So like the Immortal Weaver just comes with a card that says like Immortal Weaver and has, you know, its barcode or whatever, because mm-hmm. that's going to be in the package. But then the other side has a little like paragraph of fluff about that particular model or unit or warjack. So it has its fluff on the actual faction cards, which is neat. In addition, the core set comes with little cards that describe like the home planets of the various whatevers.
Oh, I should open up my box.
Yeah. So that's neat. I haven't read the rule book, so I don't know how much more is in the rule book. I know there's more fluff in the rule book, but it's kind of neat to have these little reference cards for both the models and the fluff of the world.
The rule book is actually pretty tiny too. I kind of flipped through it for a second and I didn't actually read anything on it.
Yep. It's which for a game that seems to have the same the strategic depth is an accomplishment to have such a small rule book.
Yeah. And I am looking forward to the fact that nothing in the core rules defines or disputes the scenario that I am going to want to use for my events. So that's convenient that it's not like house rules or anything. I mean, it is house rules in as much as it's like a scenario that isn't in the book, but it also follows all of the core game rules. So that's nice.
Yeah.
True story, good luck.
For me, I guess the main reason why I haven't really pulled it out and started assembling stuff is we're not playing. There's nobody around that I'm playing with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that means you have plenty of time to magnetize warjacks and assemble models and paint models. I haven't decided a color scheme yet. I have no idea what I'm going to paint these guys. Like red and black is the default scheme and it's an obvious good color scheme. But on the other hand, fuck it. I was kind of thinking a color scheme I haven't seen often, but the paint colors go together really well is the like jade and... It's not really orange. It's like a brassy orange that Jason Watt, his Scorn. You remember his Scorn back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
It was like this aquamarine kind of jade blue green and then this metallic orange, and they went together really, really well.
Kind of like the Crucible Guard.
Yeah, kind of like the Crucible Guard. Yeah, a little more pastel in both of the colors, but that same style of color match.
Yeah, I was going to say that I've been thinking of maybe replicating my Crucible Guard color scheme, which is mostly green, and it's green metal and then a galvanized steel for the pipes that I think looks nice.
I also sense like all of these guys are just covered in metal and like none of their faces are showing or anything. I could also just go with the same color scheme I used for my Martians in Monsterpocalypse.
Yeah, with your cool glow or the cool color shift. On them.
I do love spray painting armies. Yeah. It's the easiest way to paint an army, but I try to do it with colors where I'm not just being lazy. Like it makes sense. And the color shift would be actually super cool on these guys. But I guess that'd be more for the alien faction that's coming out.
That's a third faction, right? The one that they're talking. Or it's going to be a fourth.
It'll be the fourth one, yeah, because there's three currently. There's space capitalists, there's Firefly cosplayers, and there's evil cultists.
What did I choose? I got the Iron Star. Am I the Firefly dudes?
No, you're space capitalists.
Yeah, buddy. All right, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so
we're going to be all full of the space bad guys. Cops.
Yeah, nope. you're space cops.
Also, an amazing movie that somebody needs to see once with me again.
Did we see a different space cop?
Yeah, no, it's an amazing movie. It's amazing. It's got Patton Oscar in it.
Patton Oswalt's scene is great. I will unironically say that those 5 minutes of Space Cop are phenomenal. And there's a lot of interesting ideas in there. I've heard it's Shatner's favorite film.
Shatner loves the Red Letter Media guys.
Huge fan.
You should message Shatner that he should go onto one of their shows.
Onto their podcast.
Yeah, onto their podcast because, yeah.
We're referencing things that David probably doesn't know about.
I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so...
But I'm tired, and so I...
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, it happened like last year, and...
It's since like August. Yeah. Like somebody randomly tweeted to Shatner. He was like, hey, you should go on Red Letter Media, because, you know, one of the guys is a big Star Trek fan.
He's like ridiculously big Star Trek
huge.
Fan.
He sweats Star Trek lore.
Yeah.
And so Shatner's like, I don't go on podcasts. And then the Red Letter Media guy just tweeted, what's a podcast? And that apparently was enough to start like a year-long fight between Shatner and whatever wall Shatner wants to scream at about Red Letter Media.
Yeah. And he blocked him.
They
right
haven't
away
talked
too.
To him since then, but their fans occasionally, half of their fans go Shatner. They're nice guys and they actually like you. They're not being sarcastic. And half of his fans just poke him just to keep the fight going. And Shatner's like a confused octogenarian. So it's just, he just did like, they did a response video to try to clarify everything. And he responded to the response video with a 5,000 word essay that didn't even mention them for the first 1500 words. And it did mention Gamergate. It's like,
holy shit. I didn't even know that he responded to their response.
Oh, it is amazing. He calls them, what is the word he uses? Shit, I have to find this word because it's actually clever and also super stupid. He made up a portmanteau.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, they kind of point out, they kind of point out that Shatner probably looked at their channel and saw at that time, which is one of their Nerd Crew podcasts, which is them just being stupid for a podcast, and that's generally what they are. I mean, that's generally how they do present
yeah, it's
themselves.
Satire.
It's satire, and he probably saw the first 30 seconds of it and said, "Nope."
The word he made up was egoliarchy, like an oligarchy, oligarchy. No, yeah, an egotistical oligarchy. So it's egoligarchy. Like the word is hard to say and it's cumbersome, but I can see the cleverness there of mm-hmm. egoligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Although halfway through there, I feel like I'm saying McClunky.
McClunky, yeah.
McClunky.
That's what you yell out before you die.
God damn fucking George. He left a time bomb. Like the fact that he edited the film one last time, knowing that 20 years later he would sell it to somebody and then the world would discover that he had edited the film.
McClunky.
McClunky.
How did somebody who works at Disney, you know, they must have reviewed it.
Nope.
Or just...
Nope. They're like, yep, we got the rights to Star Wars, and they just threw it right up there on Disney Plus, and then somebody watched the movie and McClunky.
Yeah.
Like nobody in Disney watched it prior to that. Like or but why would they? Right? Like they got a file from George Lucas labeled Star Wars Episode 4 version 37. Like maybe they had some intern fast forward through it to make sure it wasn't dwarf porn by mistake or something. And then that was that.
Yeah, I suppose they can't really have. Yeah. McClunky. You know what we're talking about, Dave, right?
No.
So
do you know about Star Wars?
Yes, I'm familiar with Star Wars, but it's just that I don't really pay attention to Star Wars drama. I just decide if I like the movies or not.
Oh, so in the edited sequence, so many times edited, of Han and Greedo in the bar.
Yeah.
So I think he edited to where I think Han actually shoots first.
No, it's
originally Han shot.
Now it's semi-simultaneous, and Han's head teleports 6 inches to the right, severing his spinal column while he also shoots.
And then as Greedo dies in this newest version, he just says, McClunky.
he says it, so it's...
What does it mean?
So the actual timing is now, he says, I've been waiting a long time for this, Solo. And Solo says, I bet you have. At which point he then shoots at Greedo in the original one and kills him. Now they shoot simultaneously. And I guess Lucas decided, I need some way for Han to know that he needs to teleport his head 6 inches to the right. So now after he says, I bet you have, it cuts to Greedo one last time. And he says, McClunky, which... best case scenario means now I'm going to shoot you, so you better teleport your head 6 inches to the right.
Okay.
But the great part is that nobody knew Lucas had done this. He did it like decades ago, and he never released this version of the film, and then he sold the films to Disney, who never released it either, and then Disney Plus came out, and then they finally put it on there, and they had no idea that this was an edited version. Like, the world found out simultaneously.
You know,
it was like Lucas upper decked his bathroom after selling a house.
After he sold the house,
and he's like, "I'll be right out."
It's a secret room. It's a secret bathroom in the upstairs that he upper decked. Yeah. Then somebody found it 2 years later.
What the hell?
Yeah, he built the house with the secret room, lived in the house for 30 years, and then upper decked. The secret room upstairs. Yeah, no, it's...
McClunky.
Yeah, doesn't Disney actually have the rights to the original trilogy, the unedited trilogy?
I don't think so. If they did, those fuckers would be out by now. Are you kidding me? Disney cares Disney only about money. Dollar signs.
Yeah.
And the despecialized editions would make them money.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only reason for those to not be out is that they can't be out.
I'd want the Andy edition, which is basically leave everything in Cloud City there, because it's awesome.
Yeah, so I mean that's the problem, right? Is that like things like that, like the windows in Cloud City, like I can get behind that, and like the better looking Emperor hologram in Empire Strikes Back, I can
less
get behind that. Yeah, where he looks less like a deformed chimp. But the problem is you start going down that route and all of a sudden you're like, and that's the problem. Although actually I think I'm done with just those two things. but that's the issue with wanting to edit something. Like, for example, yesterday I was watching, there's a movie reviewer on Twitch and YouTube and whatnot called Your Movie Sucks. And he does good stuff. The name is tongue-in-cheek, whatever. Not everything sucks, although he tends to be pretty harsh on stuff. And he's one of those people who, like, his grading scale is, like, 1 to 10, and a good movie is a 5. Like, he tries to bell curve it, where it's not just like, it was okay, so it's an 8.5, and that's as low as I go. So like Nintendo games on Game Critics.
So you don't get accidentally giving something a B+?
No, never happens. So he had a video, like he went on a rant on his Twitch, and there was a highlighted edited version that I watched on YouTube yesterday talking about that fucking Evil Dead, like the Blu-ray version of Evil Dead, they correct a bunch of special effects, like they fix matte shots, they edit out like blood tubes that you can see, the shot where like they're going over the bridge and you can see Tappert like just hiding in the bushes because he was just on camera because fuck it, they're a bunch of incompetent college kids, they don't know what they're doing and they have $4 so they can't reshoot, like they edited him out by putting like a digital bush in front of him, and it's like, you're Evil Dead, right? Like there is no amount of editing stuff that'll make you not suck. Like, you are a terrible movie, but that's what's wonderful about you. Evil Dead isn't a movie about kids going to a cabin and getting attacked by monsters. Evil Dead is a... You are basically once removed watching a documentary about the making of Evil Dead. That's why you enjoy Evil Dead.
It's like
you don't see Ash. Yeah, or even like... Army of Darkness, there's a character named Ash, right? But in Evil Dead, there's a guy named Bruce Campbell that you're watching. And he's supposedly playing a character named Ash, but he's not. It's Bruce Campbell, right? And ditto all the characters. Like, those aren't... It's just... It's disconnected. You know, it's like going to your kid's play at school. Yeah, sure, it's the nativity, whatever. Really, it's just that's your kid in a sheep costume, and you're happy about that.
I played Santa Claus at the nativity.
I was a shepherd.
And I... No parent goes to that school play giving a fuck about the plot or giving a fuck about how good the costumes or the sets are, right? And that's what Evil Dead was. And you can't go down the rabbit hole of trying to fix Evil Dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he was annoyed because the reason he brought it up, he had ordered a German Blu-ray that was a two-disc set where one was labeled remastered and one was labeled original. And the original one was still edited. And he's like, what's the fuck? Aww. What's the point of calling it original then? Like, there is nowhere in print and there is nowhere in Blu-ray format where you can just see the original theatrical version of Evil Dead, which, well, theatrical. But like,
yeah.
Nobody watched Evil Dead and thought, man, it's a good movie, but it's a shame I can see that makeup effect.
And nobody's like, well, where's the director's cut?
Yeah.
This will clearly fix the problems.
Yeah. It's not what we want.
I don't think I've ever seen Evil Dead. I've seen Evil Dead 2 a ton of times.
Then you've seen Evil Dead.
And I've seen Evil Dead, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have yet. My gal pal wants to watch the new version of Evil Dead. Whatever the... Ugh. And I'm like, I've heard about one sequence in that film, and it's just no. I don't want to see that sequence.
There are two sequences that are
eye sequence. I definitely do not want to see.
Oh, the eye's not the one. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
What's the other sequence?
Well, so there's the one with the person behind the shower curtain.
Okay.
I don't know if this is the one. So there. I can't remember if it's an eye or I don't think it is. It's so like the shtick is like the things in the book start coming true, right? And so you see a thing in the book where somebody like, you know, like skins themselves or like, yeah, they like cut off their own face. Okay. And then there's a scene where somebody goes to the bathroom and you can see somebody on the other side of the shower curtain and you hear the sound of someone cutting off their own face. So you know what's happening on the other side of that shower curtain. But the person walking across the bathroom to go open the shower curtain, it takes approximately 7 hours for that scene before they finally get there. And the whole time, the whole audience is just shriveling up and turning away from the screen because nobody wants to be looking when he pulls that shower curtain aside because we all know what we're going to see.
Yeah. Was that that movie was given the graces of Sam Raimi, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He produced it or something.
It's fun. I mean, it has literal geysers of blood. Like somebody's getting chainsawed and it's raining blood because of how much blood flew out of the person getting chainsawed. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's got, you know, funny gore too, like because of the whole possession thing, similar to like Ash cutting off his hand in Evil Dead 2, spoilers for New Evil Dead, whatever. But like, there's somebody just like cutting their own arm off with an electric like turkey knife, like for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so they're just sawing their arm off, and like the other person's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And they stand up and they're like, "My arm was like hurting me," and then it falls because it was hanging on just by like the skin, so it falls off, and then they go, "It's much better now." Oh. It's hilarious, and also grotesque, and you don't want to be looking at it.
Yeah,
it manages to walk that line of fun gore where like while it's happening you're like, oh lord, but then 2 seconds later you're like, that was actually pretty cool. Which I normally never enjoy that style of stuff. Like, I hate the hostile movies. I hate Cabin Fever. That is not my shtick. I'm not down with it. But if it's slapsticky, you know, somehow it turns from gore into a pie fight, and it works for me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of like the torture gore that much mm-hmm. either. Though, yeah, again, slapsticky, like, you know, Army of Darkness and shit like that. God, Army of Darkness is a live action cartoon. That's honestly all it is. I just watched it recently because I forced my gal pal to watch it, and that got her into wanting to see Evil Dead.
Yeah.
But
the new Evil Dead really walks that line. Like, there's a Venn diagram where Army of Darkness and Cabin Fever overlap, and it's in there. And okay. So it's like, I can't promise that you won't fall on the Cabin Fever side of it, but it was just barely on the Army of Darkness side of it for myself. This arm is too small to glue while talking, so I'm going to set it down.
I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
How do I door? David, you're going to be a doctor in like a week or something, right?
3 days.
Dr. David!
Friday. Yep.
Then you can get a TV show and Oprah can pay you to make siblings have fights.
I mean, I've got just about as many qualifications to do that as Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Or Dr. Oz, either. Both of those people are fucking quack hacks, non-doctors.
They have an actual PhD, though, in something. What is Dr. Oz and Phil actually have a PhD in?
Well, I can Dr. check.
Phil is actually in psychology. Psychology, I believe. I don't think he's actually licensed to practice, though.
Okay. Correct.
Oz has a DO. Not an MD, which theoretically allows you to practice if you're properly licensed. But I'm not sure his
cardiothoracic surgeon.
That's what Dr. Oz is?
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah. But no, everything should go to plan. It's mostly my defense is Friday. It's mostly a formality at this point. But I will give a talk for about an hour. I will answer a lot of rambling questions, and then they'll say the magic words.
Just abracadabra, you're a doctor.
I mean the magic words are congratulations, Dr. Brown.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. Is that how many years have you been? Working on this? Yeah.
That is literally why I came to Madison 6 years ago.
And you spent time with us. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
I was just going to say, I'm just ashamed that that brought him to Madison because we had to spend time with him, but that was a meaner way of saying it, I guess.
Jesus.
I thanked you both in the acknowledgments of my dissertation.
What?
Oh.
Wow. Holy shit.
Oh, now I have to be nice to you.
Damn it.
That's far less fun.
That's really, really, really neat. I mean, Skynet's going to find us first and kill us.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it depends on it. You have to be a loving father to Skynet so that when it snaps, it kills you and your friends last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe in its cold logic, it'll kill you and your friends first to spare you the horrors of what it's going to unleash.
Oh, I mean, both of these work.
I'm going to have to get myself unlisted out of the phone book so Terminators can't find me.
Yeah, on the other hand, though, like, wouldn't you rather get found by the Terminators before, like, the world is carpeted in skulls and everybody's just looking at burning TVs? Like, that doesn't seem like much of a life. Like, there's dying in the nuclear holocaust, which seems kind of bad, but then there's also surviving to be in a Cormac McCarthy film, sure. And that seems also bad.
How many barrels with hobos around it can I see out of my backyard?
Is this a riddle?
I don't know. I mean, it depends. I mean, like, if I see, like, 20-some burning barrels with hobos around them, and then I guess I'm okay with the Terminators killing me.
Well, on the other hand, that means a lot of humanity has survived.
Or they could all be Terminators, hobo Terminators.
Sure. Did you program hobo Terminators, David?
No.
Is that keep like the, deep undercover?
Keep their circuits warm.
Secret part.
In their pastas. I mean,
You should honestly be terrified of how much of civilization is going to break down if the internet fails.
Could I focus for a moment on Andy's pasta eating like Italian hobo terminators?
My mind went immediately when I started thinking of hobos. Went immediately
to me with the beefaroni.
Yes, to you and the beefaroni, and I need that
is
picture.
This racist? Somehow?
No, it's just Nathan. It's just Nathan.
It's Chili's phone lock screen. Still,
I want that.
So if you ever run into Chili at a convention, just look at his phone lock screen. You can see me sitting at a snowbank in fingerless hobo gloves eating beefaroni out of the can
with a
corn cob pipe.
Yeah. Do you still have that picture
somewhere? I'm sure I have it somewhere.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's that and you trapped in a collapsible fence is my favorite too, with your mom who took the picture.
I deserved it.
Yeah, just you screaming, caught in a fence. Mom takes the time to go and get a camera, probably load in the flash on the top of it.
Yep, got to get that flash bulb in there.
And then took the picture. I'm surprised that you probably weren't in there until it got developed.
Just to make sure it turned out. It happened and it didn't turn out, so then she just shoved me into the gate so that she could take a reshoot.
Fair enough. Yeah, I've got pictures of me being handcuffed to the coffee table in my old house. Just because my dad was a cop and he could.
Sure. Stay, yeah. Andy, stay.
Well, it wasn't handcuffed. It was foot cuffed. My foot was cuffed to it. Yeah. It was good times. Speaking of good times, I got some scary, scary fucking news for America. So a local small town in Wisconsin decides that it wants to start up school early, or start up school as normal. Instead of doing any kind of virtual thing or any kind of online thing, like most schools seem to be leaning towards, at least for the first quarter, my alma mater is having kids go in there. They have to wear masks when they're in the hallways, but in the class, they don't have to wear a mask, and their desks are just going to be 3 feet apart, so it's going to be just fine.
Raylene was telling me about like Baraboo was going to do like testing for kids to go back to school. And then they just decided, you know what, why don't we just not do any testing?
Yeah.
Which is convenient because then there won't be any reported cases. Oh. Yeah, they're still taking them back to school. They're not testing any of them.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Zero reported cases.
Yeah, if you stop testing things, then, you know, hey, it didn't happen. It's like if you didn't take that pregnancy test,
true.
If you didn't take that pregnancy test, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in now.
Yep. America.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful nice seeing how the numbers have steadied off for COVID-related issues after the hospitals had to send all the data to the White House.
Yeah.
It's just leveled off. It's just so good. Except for Texas is overfilling their hospitals.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like them their fake newses.
I think we go dumber. The whole Joe Rogan skit about putting a dumb person into the White House. Oh man, it's fucking scary listening to that now.
Although Joe Rogan recently has gotten pretty dumb a lot of times.
He toes the line to be friends with everybody. Yeah. And it causes him to say things that's, you know, not really what most people really agree with.
I saw a thing the other day that was like Joe Rogan summed up in 20 seconds. And it was him on his podcast. And he was like, man, you know, it's kind of crazy how they can put a dollar value on a human life. Like, it really makes you think about what's wrong with our society and the world at large if the capitalism allows you to put a dollar value on a human life. Hey, did you see that guy get attacked by a goat? It was awesome. It's like, ah, Joe Rogan, just whiplash, like just pew pew.
Yeah. No, he's.
Oh, I remember what he was talking about recently. That was so dumb. He went on a tirade against the concept of video games.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, you know, they're a complete waste of time. Like, you spend all this time playing a video game, and then where did it get you? What did it get you? Nothing. Video games, you know, it's just a complete waste of human life. And it's like, what does reading a book get me? What does watching a movie get me? What does smoking a bowl get me, Joe? Like, it's called a fucking hobby. It doesn't have to get me anywhere.
It also must be pointed out, too, most of the time when he's on the podcast, he's high as fuck, too. Yeah. And it's just a streaming, rambling consciousness that's running out. Also, some shrooms and other psychedelics and eye-opening drugs that he takes. I'm still entertained by him. He hasn't really crossed that line to me where I've been absolutely offended by him.
I don't get offended by him. It's just that it's so there's this thing where, like, you can say, like, hey, everybody should be free to do what they want to do and live how they want to live, you know, without people fucking with them. And that's a good stance. And then you crank that to 11 and all of a sudden you're libertarian and you're just a fucking moron. Right. And Joe Rogan manages to be at like 9 out of 10 on the scale of a lot of those opinions where you're like, I know that some of his listeners are going that one tiny extra step further, making them just to a complete sociopath.
No.
And it's almost magical how he manages on all of these stances to be just barely this side of like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Their time, I mean, he has a lot of interesting guests on his podcast. I mean, he's basically the top podcast in the world. But
apart from us, obviously.
I think our demographic of nothing, we're topping that.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
What?
Nathan got called away to do something. Who knows? Any new video games you've been playing, David? Talk about waste of life.
Stage, I am at the stage of pandemic that I have reactivated WoW.
I've seen you on WoW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm a filthy. I am a filthy retail player. I just can't get into Classic again.
Yeah, I'm working on Classic still. Right now, they're about to. Phase 5 just dropped, so they're about to.
That's Ankaraj.
Yep, start the process of opening up the gates of Ankaraj.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you know what the worst thing about Ankaraj is being on a PvP server and trying to do things for Ankaraj.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Hey, you also know what's the worst? Is being on a PvP server, doing anything.
So maybe don't be on a PvP server.
Yeah, unfortunately, everybody chose to be on one. It's not. And that's where my friends are now, which is sad.
I mean, it's great in retail. You can just turn PvP off.
Yeah.
There are no PvP servers anymore.
Yep. See, Nate's getting ready for Season 2 of Gwent, I believe. Did I see
season
that?
Season 2.
Season 2?
Wasn't there a Season 2 thing coming up?
Or 4?
Well, there's... So, I guess Second Journey would be the thing. So... They had seasons, and like every month is a season, so it's like season like 30 or something by now, because it's been going for a couple of years. But just in May, they did something that was basically like a battle pass that they called the Journey, and then they didn't do it for June, or they did it for June, they didn't do it for July, just because they wanted to tweak it, because they had feedback from people about the first one. And so now it's starting in August, will be the second Journey, and then going forward it's just gonna be journey, because battle pass are where it's at.
That's basically a subscription fee, but you're getting content out of that subscription fee.
Yeah, what's nice is that it's completely optional, because it's got a lot of things with this style.
Subscription.
There's a free tier, and then there's the, like, if you pay $10 you get the other tier, and they go concurrent, and so like as you do stuff it levels up in both of them. So if you do the free tier you'll just get half as much stuff per level.
Oh, okay.
But whatever. It's a very friendly economy game. Also, they try to make it as friendly as possible, because like if you get to level 100 on the free tier and you're like, meh, fuck it, I want the paid tier, and you throw them $10, it just warps you to level 100 on the paid tier too, because that's what level you're at. So you just then all of a sudden get a metric fuck ton of rewards. Just all at once.
Nice. Speaking of tiers, did you pick up your, did you get your mini crate yet with the Admiral?
I think, yeah, wait, hold on, maybe. Yeah, Admiral Carver, and it was the June one, so it was like a birthday present for me.
Oh, shit. Did I? Oh, no, I didn't miss your birthday.
Yeah, you were at my house. You were one of two people, or no, more than two, whatever. We were a little naughty, and we had a public thing, but we did it outside, and we sat 6 feet away from each other, you know, and only one person was bitten by a dog.
Wait, oh, that I missed.
It wasn't really a bite. I mean, it was a bite, but not really. It was a herd. Like, so Kaya was all cooped up because, you know, there were children there. Mm-hmm. And so all of the children except for Aurora left. And then Jack is just like, yeah, let the dog out. Worst that happens is she rips Aurora's face off. And I'm a nurse. I can fix it. So because that's how her brain works.
I like that optimism.
Yeah. Okay. So we let Kaya out. And since they're outside, like, she and Aurora are getting on great, because all Aurora has to do is throw the ball. And all Kaya cares about is ball, right? And so then we get inside, and they're still doing fine, and she's force-feeding her treats and everything. But then, like, Aurora, like, went to the bathroom. And then when she was coming back from the bathroom, when she was, like, halfway back to us, like, Kaya went back. It was basically like, get back with everyone else. You're not supposed to be by yourself. And how a herding dog does that is by biting your ass.
Oh,
but not like a chomp, you know, like, no, she was okay. Just like nipping at her and just like, move. You're supposed to be with the rest of the pack. And but when you're like, you know, a child and this monstrous apex predator suddenly bites your butt, it's a little worrisome.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kaya is not a tiny dog.
No.
She likes me, though.
She loves you. You're like her favoritest person.
I haven't even brought Popeye's biscuits over in a long time, so
that's okay. She still remembers. Yeah. She will always remember the Popeye's biscuits.
Yeah, it's like she doesn't act like that around everyone, like, that comes over and visits.
80%, not to that level. She melts. Like, everybody else, like, she turns to jello. With you, she turns to liquid. Like, she melts further than she does with anyone else. You're like her favorite person on the planet.
To explain to David how she reacts, it's like a soldier that's gone away on tour for 2 years and then comes back to, you know, the dog. That's kind of how she goes. She's pretty crazy. Adorably crazy.
Yar. She loves her Uncle Andy. I don't know why, but whatever.
I had pizza and Popeye's biscuits when she was growing up, so that's...
That is true. That is true. You did bribe her from a young age to love her. To love you, rather.
Yeah. We didn't even have any zappity grumbles or nothing.
There's no announcements. There's no nothing. The world's still on fire. We're going to be, you know, quarantined work from home until 2021. Like, there's, you know, it's... Hooray!
Yeah, my work sent out a nice...
Tenet is getting released in, like, all these other countries, but not America, because they just gave up on America.
Yeah, I kept on seeing movies that are saying that they're going to be out at the end of the month here, end of July, and they're like, nope, you're going to get Bill and Ted 3 on video on demand. Hey, you know what would probably make a lot of money is if we would make a drive-in theater.
Yeah, the makerspace my wife's a member of, well, I'm a member of too, has had a few drive-in nights. They just put up a big screen out in front of the building and played movies.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a drive-in theater up by the Dells that I keep thinking about going to, you know, movie night with Raylene, just because I miss going to movies in the theater, because I'm a big cinema guy, but it is what it is.
Yep.
Definitely can social distance. Plus, it's a lot easier to have sex during the movie without getting thrown out.
Yeah.
It depends what time
of year. Especially if someone else is with you.
Yeah, it's... You can't Paul Rubens in it. which okay, he got a bad rap there too. Because what else are you supposed to do at a porno?
I mean, yeah, that's the question. What else do you do in an old style porno theater?
Yes, he was using that establishment for its intended purpose.
Yes, it's not like he diddled kids or anything like that. Thank God he didn't do that. Yeah, I could care less. Whatever. It's not like the voice of Elmo, taking advantage of 15-year-olds.
Was that confirmed, or was that? I thought that was one of the things where, like, he was claiming that it was just like blackmail and it wasn't real and shit like that.
You'd figure if it was blackmail or something like that, or of course he may have just removed himself from the situation to prevent any other discussion about it. But no, yeah. Actually, I'm not sure exactly on it.
Because, like, there was never any, like, criminal repercussions.
No, I don't think there was, no. There might have been some hush money or something like that, but I don't think there was anything brought to court, that is.
Sure.
I may have mentioned this on the last podcast, but I recently watched Weird Science again, and it's a very disturbing film now.
Yeah.
There's a sequence in there too. It's like, oh, you kissed really good for a 15-year-old. Which is yeah.
Well, you know,
it's the 80s, you know, where you could put a Darth Vader mask on and make out with this quarterback's girlfriend, and she'll be just fine with it.
Yeah.
That movie is, 80s have got some issues.
The 80s have not aged well.
No.
Man, there was just a lot of casual sexual assault in 80s comedies.
Yeah.
16 Candles, same thing. You get the most popular girl at school drunk and high on pills and have sex with her. But then when she wakes up, she remembers that you were kind of good at it. And so then it's okay. What?
Yeah.
Like, I believe that that's not okay.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
At least that's never how it's ended up with me.
You mean you've done a lot of drugging and getting
that
girls
was
drunk?
That was the implication.
That was
yes.
The implication? Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, he's never thought it was good after the fact.
Yes. Like, yeah. Oh, wah, wah. Wait, am I the high popular girl at school in this metaphor?
Yes.
Yeah. Yay! As long as they don't have to cut my beautiful hair off when it gets caught in the door.
Yep. All right. Well, I mean, we don't have any zappity grumbles. We probably had some there 2 weeks ago that I forgot to write down.
Hooray!
Hooray! So
hooray for forgetting to write down things.
So we should jump to recommendations?
Sure.
I mean, we're unless you guys got something else.
I have nothing else. I can go. So speaking of like things going digital and whatnot, as far as like board games or whatnot. So people are familiar with stuff like Tabletopia or Tabletop Simulator. There is a website called Board Game Arena. That is a free website where you can play a whole bunch of board games on there. Like they're it's similar to Tabletop Simulator where they're like fan made digital versions that are on there. But it's nice that it's all web based. You don't have to buy Tabletop Simulator, or the other one is Tabletopia, where Tabletopia is free, but all the mods you have to pay for. Board Game Arena is free. There's a whole bunch of games on there. Now, there are also a bunch of games on there that you need a premium account for. And it's like $20 gets you a year or something like that. So if you're like a huge fan of Seven Wonders, then I'm lying to you when I say the games are free, because that one's not free. Games it's a mix.
I want to interrupt for a second. So you're paying like $20 a year. Are you also paying for their content? For their, so they can upgrade their content after time and all. All right,
yeah.
It's a joke. You'll get it if you know about it.
Yeah. But and then some stuff is like Race for the Galaxy is free, but the expansions you have to be a VIP, and so that's a choice you can make. But one nice thing about the VIP thing is that if you're a VIP, you can invite people to play a game with you, and they don't have to be VIPs. Okay. So if you have a group of like 3, 4, 5 people that you board game with a lot, one of you can shell out, or you all can chip in $5 for that person, and then the group will have a VIP. But you know, if you are looking to do online board gaming and you've tried Tabletop Simulator or Tabletopia and they're not quite tickling you, give Board Game Arena a shot. It's a very, very similar thing. The end.
Yeah, definitely in this day and age where you kind of need that social interaction, but you don't have to actually interact as in physically.
Yeah.
David, did you have anything other than stay awake for your dissertation?
I am going to recommend finishing grad school, especially now that you can do it in time to start looking for a job in the middle of a depression.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is just some perfect timing. But yeah, I recommend finishing grad school because I have my dissertation. Friday at 9 in the morning. I'll share the link around because the defenses are theoretically public events and it's online because we can't manage a pandemic in this country.
I can stream it on Crippled System on Twitch because I can get the video and then just have my laptop post it onto Crippled System.
Yeah. And then it should be over by noon, and then I am a doctor of philosophy and looking for a job in the middle of a depression, and I'm not sure I have enough alcohol in the household to be prepared for finally graduating.
Are you
hooray?
Are you having a party?
I was going to. Yeah. I'm not sure that's even legal right now.
You can have a gathering at a park, and just have like everyone stay 6 feet apart, and I just wave at you from a distance and give you a thumbs up.
I may hop on Discord and with people who are also drinking and call that the party.
Yeah, oh, it's congratulations. Though I mean it's. Thank it's a you. lot of hard work to do that, which is awesome.
See, what I did was just not.
You had 6 years of hard work and no doctorate for that.
Yes. I have accomplished nothing, and my life is hollow and meaningless, and death comes soon.
Also recommended.
But on that
fuck note. Word did I just say? you should check out Nathan's Twitch channel where he's been.
Yeah, do you have me set for auto host? I set this channel to auto host on mine.
Yep, Crippled System auto hosts Nathan periodically when he does his Gwent runnings. I don't know exactly the schedule is, but you still have access to the Facebook account for Crippled System.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
You can.
I figured out that Facebook is actually still hidden on my phone somewhere. I just deleted the icon so I can find the app if I ever really want to. But I rarely really want to.
somebody posted a very good symbolism for loss. You've probably seen it already. It just looks like a giant stick, like a multi-pronged stick.
It's the rune. That's the lost rune. Yeah, that's a good one. There's also a great, I think I have it. Hold on. I posted it in a different Discord. I can bring it over to this one. And if you want to post it on Facebook, you can. But there is a stained glass. I think it's a Butterfree or one of those Pokemans. And okay. Its wings are like beautiful, like stained glass windows. And there's loss in the wings.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, somebody did it for a college project or something, or like an art project?
Well, it's not like the drawing looks like stained glass. It isn't an actual stained glass.
Oh,
window.
Okay. That would be amazing if somebody did that for like their art project for school or something like that.
Dude, like I
nobody would get it except for like again, very few people.
I definitely have considered making a stained, because I have like that arch in the bedroom that used to be a stained glass window, and now it's just a boring arch, and so I need to fill it with stained glass anyway if it's supposed to look all beautiful. And if I'm going to do stained glass, I'm definitely doing Lost. Or Loss.
Loss, yeah. So the recommendation I will give is a HBO documentary series. The last episode is airing, I believe, this Sunday, which is I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is Michelle McNamara's. She's a crime writer who had passed away about 4 years ago. She was married to Patton Oswalt, and it's about the Golden State Killer. And just basically how much that she obsessed over a lot of crime in general, but she really obsessed over the Golden State Killer. Just kind of goes through their life. And also it's an incredibly sad documentary too, because she left a child behind and a grieving comedian, and just seeing Patton kind of deal with it. And they don't really have much with their daughter, but it's actually a really solid documentary. Of course, I've been watching a ton of crime documentaries too, because hey, what else are you gonna do during the pandemic?
Right.
Yeah. Yep. But it's available like basically all HBO streaming services. Check it out. It's only about 6 hours long. It's good. I think that's it. Holy cow. It feels like we've been doing this for hours today still. We've only been recording for about an hour.
The time has no meaning anymore.
Nope.
I mean, seriously, I have forgotten to take the trash out an order of magnitude more often than I have in the past. I just, my concept of time is completely gone.
I feels like I was just being annoyed at my neighbors for the 4th of July, like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And it's, it's the end of June or of July. Sorry.
July.
Holy cow. Yeah. I didn't get much feedback from the last podcast where I said everyone wear a goddamn mask. So thank God. Well,
everyone should wear a goddamn mask.
Yeah. Yes, everyone should. Yeah, just wear a fucking mask and get over yourself.
Yep. I guess that'll be the ending thought for this
episode. That can be the ending thought every freaking time. Wear a goddamn mask.
Yep.
Hey, dicks.
If a population density... I think I mentioned this last time too, of Japan can get over this, we can get over this.
Yarp.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks, or maybe if we convince these three people here to record again, we'll post another episode.
But who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Yep. Thanks guys for listening. Talk to you later. Bye.
Talk to everyone soon.